I am Tim Smith, an associate editor of medical news site HCP Live. Welcome to Doc Talk. On March 8th of 2024, the American Academy of Dermatology, or AAD, held its annual meeting in San Diego, California. During the meeting, Dr. Andrew Alexis gave a presentation on controversies in acne and rosacea treatment. Alexis is a prominent figure in the dermatology space, currently serving as the Vice Chair for Diversity in the Department of Dermatology and Professor of Clinical Dermatology at Weill Cornell Medical College in New York. During our interview, Dr. Alexis sheds light on critical aspects of managing acne and rosacea, particularly focusing on patients with skin of color. He highlights the importance of careful clinical examination, including dermoscopy and symptomatology assessment, for accurate diagnosis. Dr. Alexis also addressed the significance of considering differential diagnoses, such as seborrheic dermatitis and autoimmune conditions, to avoid misdiagnosis. His insights underscore the necessity of tailored approaches and increased inclusivity in dermatological research and education to better serve patients with diverse skin tones and backgrounds. We hope you enjoy. So, Dr. Alexis, I know that you presented a talk at AAD, which was entitled Controversies in Acne and Rosacea. I was wondering if you could highlight sort of some of the primary controversies that you sort of highlight surrounding acne and rosacea in the dermatology space today.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. So I have the privilege of speaking in the Acne and Rosacea Symposium here at the American Academy of Dermatology annual meeting in San Diego. And in my talk, I really highlighted some of the key nuances in the presentation and overall treatment approach in patients with skin of color. Starting with acne, one of the key nuances to managing acne in patients with skin of color is the presence of post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation in an overwhelming majority of acne patients with skin of color. In fact, this PIH is often the driving force for patients to come and seek the care of a dermatologist. In many cases, the post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation is of equal or even potentially greater concern to the patient than the acne that caused the PIH macules. So I go over approaches to treating both acne and PIH at the same time to get that desired endpoint of clearance of both the papules, pustules, comedones, in other words, the acne, and the sequelae, the acne hyperpigmentation. So one of the most helpful strategies to addressing both things at the same time is using topical retinoids. And I highlighted a new study that just released data with a new retinoid, a novel retinoid, the fourth generation retinoid trifferritin cream. And in this study, trifferritin was used in the treatment of acne-induced post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. Now, the bottom line from that study is that improvements in PIH were seen more quickly, as early as week 12, for example, in patients treated with trifferritin versus the vehicle. Now, while this study had as a primary endpoint something called the Overall Disease Severity for Hyperpigmentation Scale, or ODS, it showed significance in terms of improvement compared to vehicle at week 12, but by week 24 was comparable statistically to vehicle. However, another endpoint, which was a secondary endpoint, called the Post-Acne Hyperpigmentation Index, which takes into account the number of hyperpigmented macules, the size, the intensity. So it captures a little bit more information, if you will, about some aspects of the PIH. That demonstrated significant improvement compared to vehicle at multiple time points, including week 12 and week 24. So it's a long way of saying that we now have great data to support the use of a retinoid, trifferritin, in terms of improving PIH more quickly in patients with skin of color. When it comes to rosacea, briefly, rosacea is really under-recognized in patients with skin of color. There tends to be a low index of suspicion that a patient belonging to various racial ethnic populations that have skin of color. But it turns out that rosacea is indeed a condition that affects a broad spectrum of patient population, including those with skin of color. The erythema may not be as prominent. The redness may not be as visible. But with careful inspection, using dermoscopy or dioscopy or demonstrating blanching, and using symptomatology of the patient to help direct your eye to where the features of rosacea clinically are all helpful tips in terms of increasing the accuracy of diagnosis. I do touch on differential diagnosis of rosacea as well, and being sure to consider other conditions that affect the central face, including seborrheic dermatitis, autoimmune collagen vascular diseases such as lupus and dermatomyositis, although not as common as rosacea, should always be kept in mind in patients who present with various erythematous lesions on the central face and worsened by sun exposure.
I see. Okay, interesting. And can I ask you as well then, do you think that some of these sort of gaps in knowledge in, for example, you know, like you were saying with rosacea, in regard to diagnosis, do you think that some of these could be, I don't know, better served or better addressed if clinical trials were to include more patients of color in the future?
Yes, I think improving our knowledge and understanding of rosacea across diverse patient populations, including those with skin of color, would be helped by including more diverse patients in our clinical trials. So I do agree with that, and that would allow us to even be able to potentially perform comparative analyses if the sample sizes are large enough to allow that. It would also help to just change the perception that rosacea is something that one is only going to see in individuals with lighter skin complexion of Northern European ancestry, et cetera, and really just raise awareness that we can see it across a whole range of racial ethnic groups. It will also help raising public awareness of rosacea in diverse patient populations with skin of color who themselves have a low awareness that rosacea can even affect them. I think one last thing would be images that are available, publicly available, or in educational materials. When patients look up conditions, it's helpful for them to see images that are similar or reflect their own skin type or identity. And when they don't see that, it tends to create the impression that these conditions aren't something that can be found in their population. So I think expanding at the images, the range of images that we use in our educational resources is another step.
Thanks again to Dr. Alexis for his insights into these types of issues in the field of dermatology today. For more news, late-breaking data, and interviews covered by HCP Live, check out our latest conference coverage. Follow us on X, Facebook, and LinkedIn to stay updated on new developments in dermatology and other fields. From HCP Live's Doc Talk, I'm Tim Smith. Thanks for listening.